joy, perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day.
I'm just going to let the Lord guide me, guide my thoughts for the remainder of this morning's service. And he keeps on impressing to me to mention this. About a week and a half ago, the Youth Congress, they had it, 2015 Youth Congress down in Oklahoma City. Brother Lee Stone King got up, and he spoke for a total of 1 minute and 8 seconds. And something happened that I believe it was record-setting on how loud that place started to erupt. And he mentioned this, and he said with some study that I'm not going to be perfect on how I explain this. He explained it pretty well. It was he explained how Satan is a prince of power of the air, and that when we speak and we begin to like praise God and we begin to shout, it actually shreds the air. The prince of power of the air, you're shredding the air in which he has a power of. And before he could get any further, there began a shout that started to rise in that place. And there was, when they began to shout, they recorded the decibels that took that, the meter on how loud it got in that place. And they said it was compared to a jet engine putting the sound. It was only a few decibels away. It like more than double the sound of a roaring crowd in that stadium of that many people. They didn't need to double the size. They had a shout of God. And I'll be honest with you, during that week of Youth Congress, I could feel what God was doing in Oklahoma City 12 hours away from here on a drive. It was so strong. It was just shredded. The prince of the power of the ear, they just shredded what his kingdom and what he was doing at that time. And the enemy cannot stand against that.
If you have this within you and you desire God to do something in this place, I ask that you could give God a shout of praise, clap your hands, you are being obedient, all ye people. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. I want to give no room or no place for the devil this morning. I want God to have his perfect will and his perfect way in my life today. I want him to have his perfect will and his way in this service this morning. God's been dealing with me for the past few weeks on a specific a word for the church this morning, and it was a thought, and it just wasn't going away, and it was starting to build up. And then all of a sudden, Brother Wells, about a week or two ago, asked me, he goes, could you open or take care of Sunday morning service? And I'm like, I'll go, okay. It's kind of funny how that works when God starts dealing with something, and then you're called upon. And that's what I want to speak on for a few minutes this morning. And I'm going to speak in, it's Judges chapter 6, verses 6 through 16, is where I'm going to draw my text from. And it said, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel heard the cry unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which saith unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, that Abzurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which thou, our fathers, told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. In verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The title of the message this morning is simply this: there's a calling. There's a calling. If we could pray for the remainder of this service, that God's will be done in this place. Lord, I pray, Lord, for your will to be done. I pray for your way. I pray, Lord, for you to anoint the ears and hearts and minds in this house this morning, the ones that you brought, Lord, that you've led here, Lord. It is no accident, Lord, that every person that is here for a reason, is here for a purpose, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we be obedient and responsive to your word, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct me, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I'm just an instrument, Lord, for you to work through, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And there are other instruments, Lord, and vessels in this house that you desire to work through in this place, I believe, today, in Jesus' name. You could be seated at this time. First, I want to talk about a cry before the calling.
There was a cry that went out, a cry that gets God's attention, that causes him to send a prophet, a messenger, an angel of the Lord. They were living in poverty. They were in a desperate situation. They were living day to day, getting overpowered, getting mowed over by the Midianites, taking their animals, taking their crops, pretty much doing whatever they wanted to do. They would just invade their land as if they owned it, as if the Israelites were nothing and nobodies in their own land, in the land which God gave them. And Gideon and his dad, Joash, would have to hide behind the threshing floor and thresh wheat. I just started to imagine this, that one was a lookout person. There was a father and son duo. If we're going to eat, we need to keep an eye out for the Midianites, because every time that we try this, and there's others that have tried this, they come and steal our food. And we are at the point of starvation. We are hiding in caves. We are like foreigners in the land which God given us. And God allowed this to happen for 7 years. And the pressure, they couldn't take any longer, and it was beginning to be too strong that they were getting from the enemy. And they began to cry out to God for help. When you're in a desperate situation, it does not matter about your image. That when you need help from the Lord, that you do not care what other people think. Lord, I need your help. I need you to do something right now. I don't care about my demeanor. I don't care if people think I'm too loud or in any other situation. I've heard of people when they got desperate enough for God to do something in their life, they would come out from the back of their aisle. And I heard this happen one other time, and Brother Cawthorpe preached on this, that a man had a nosebleed, that he face-planted himself right at the altar because he was so desperate for God to do something in his life. Sometimes God will allow us and hand us over to the enemy and say, you know what? I've done this for you, and I've helped you, and I was your God, but you didn't allow me to be your God, so I'm going to hand you over to the enemy for a while. And then the pressure builds up, and it starts to mount up. And he says, you know what? I'm going to force you. I'm going to put you in a position to want to come to me. You could stay miserable in the place that you're in, but you know what? It's my desire for you to come back to me. And it's for our own good every time. When they cried out for help in that desperate situation, an angel of the Lord would show up and speak to Gideon and say, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And this put a question mark in his mind, because that was the last thing on his mind of being a mighty man of valor. It's amazing that God has hopes and dreams for us and wants us to succeed and more than we want to succeed at times. He said, why is this all happening to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? I need a sign that you're going to help me. So Gideon went home. He cooked the goat, baked some bread. And the angels stayed over by the tree. And when Gideon came back, he had some broth. The angel of the Lord said, put this food on this rock and pour the broth over it. And he stuck out his staff and he touched the tip of it, and a flame came up and consumed the food, the offering that he brought to the angel of the Lord. And then after that, the angel disappeared. That would get my attention. That would really start to convince me that, God, this is for real. This is really happening. God, you're going to start to turn things around. You sent a prophet, started to prophesy over us and told us what we did wrong. We got rebuked. We know we're wrong, and we're in a desperate situation. We're ready for things to turn around. First, yes, I need a sign that you're going to help me. And second, I need a sign that you're going to use me. And the Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out there. I really want to know for sure if this is right. I think me seeing an angel touch his staff with the food and have a fire come up, that would pretty much convince me right there. I would be, you know what, I'm done. I've seen enough. And then I don't even blink an eye and you just disappear. Like, I'm sold. I'll do this. But he goes, I want to be sure. I want to put a fleece out here on the threshing floor tonight. And if I come back in the morning and it's wet, I'll know that you're going to use me and that you're for me and you're going to be with me and you're going to help me. So he wakes up in the morning, and he goes to the threshing floor, and he picks up the fleece. They say the fleece was so wet that it was wet enough to fill up a bowl. And the ground was dry all around it. the food on the rock, and the staff, and the angel disappearing, and the dry ground, and the wet fleece, enough to fill a bowl. Lord, I need a sign. Don't be mad at me. I just need to know for sure, really. I need one more test. Can you make the ground wet? And when I go out the next day and pick up the fleece, it'll be dry. Lord, don't get mad at me. I just want to know for sure. Wakes up the next morning, fleece is dry, the ground is wet. Okay, I'm convinced. I've heard all these miracles from my previous generations. I believe Gideon wanted to see more of some God's miracles for himself. I believe not only did Gideon have a physical hunger because they were starving, but he also had a spiritual hunger that God was noticing when nobody else would see. He heard about these stories of how his people were delivered out of Egypt and all these miracles and that. And there was a time when nothing happened just because his people turned away from God. But he was a younger generation. It doesn't take but a generation or two to turn away from God. And then the second, third generation, they have no idea what's going on here and the experiences that we have. He also had a desire to see God do something. He had a spiritual hunger. He had a physical hunger. He was starving. They had to look out to make sure their food wasn't stolen, but he also had a spiritual hunger, I believe. Do you ever come to church with a hunger for God so strong that nothing will satisfy it until there's a breakthrough in service? I believe that to be so because I've seen it just happen and experienced it here this morning in the house. And I also believe that God has planted people in this church for that same hunger and the desire. We just don't want to come to church, but we want to come to have church. Maybe this desire turns into a cry when you feel like maybe things are getting stagnant and things aren't moving. And that cry becomes a desire for more of him, to more of him in our personal life. But to come in here and maybe this is amazing how we feel the presence of God, and maybe God will hold back a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, you got to drive. There's a few over here that I planted in this church for a reason. They got to drive, and they are going to press, and they're going to break through something here. And I will demonstrate myself, but I will not do this until I know that somebody is going to press through in the Holy Spirit. They're going to press through in their spirit, and God's going to open something. I've seen it happen time after time. I've seen where people have come in here, and they got a breakthrough from the very first song. It literally changed the whole service. It changed the outcome of the service. It changed what I was going to say. It changed the service on a PM service when somebody else is going to preach at night. It was all because one person just had a drive and had a desire. I want a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough in this service. I need a breakthrough. I'm not going home without a breakthrough. I'm not going to wait for offering or altar call. I need a breakthrough right now. God said in verse 14, I know you're weak. He says, go with the strength that you have. Go rescue Israel. I am sending you. I'll be honest with you. I want to be very transparent. Brother Wells asked me to do this a couple weeks ago. And I don't always get excited. I get a little kind of nervous in my spirit. Brother Callum, you relate to me at times when we get asked to do something, you get called on the spot. Because we don't always get the download. I don't have the whole message. God will give us bits and pieces, and it'll start to build as the service starts to progress. And God was revealing to me things yesterday. I was working in my garage, and I was repainting it, and he's like, go in there and look up the text. There's some things I want to show you. And all of a sudden, I got so flustered that I couldn't do nothing else, but I had to go in and get on the computer, and I had to look up the text and start and read it. And he would reveal things to me. Some hear the call of God, hear what he wants them to do, and they pull a 180. They pull a Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He paid a price to get out of town. he bought a ticket to go on a ship. He goes, I heard the voice of the Lord. I don't want to hear that again because I don't want to do it. And he put himself and he put everyone around him in jeopardy because he rejected the call of God in his life. I called you to do something. I called you to say something to these people. It is God who puts the words in our mouth. If we feel like, you know, we're doing this in and of it of ourselves, we're sadly mistaken. It isn't, you know, our human spirit may and our flesh may kick in and say, you know what, I can't do this or get somebody else. And we start to bring excuses. They start to enter our mind. Lord, I got a whole list of excuses. I'm going to give you some reasons why you need to use somebody else and get somebody else. Jonah, his excuse was, they're not going to listen to me. Moses, his excuse, I'm not very good with words. They don't always come out right. Apostle Paul also had a stuttering problem, but God used these men greatly. God uses imperfect people, people from all different backgrounds. I believe this church is a melting pot. We all come from different denominations and different upbringings. Some are first generation Pentecostal, some are third, some are fifth. God doesn't wait until you're, okay, I'll wait till you're to the third or fourth generation. He goes, I want to use you right now to do what I want you to do. And if lately, if you feel like you've been under pressure and you're starting to question, God, this isn't the right time for you to use me. God will use that pressure. That's part of your anointing, is when you feel pressed and things aren't always going right. Lord, I don't want to. My life's a mess right now. I'm going through the trial. I'm going through the fire. I will be with you. I will help you. He's looking for willingness, obedience, a godly hunger, a desire. He looks for faithfulness. I'm thankful for the ones that have been faithful to their calling. He looks at the heart. He looks for the little things that we do, the little things that nobody else sees. Maybe it's a piece of paper that needs to be picked up, or maybe it's watering the lawn or the flowers or coming into the church when nobody else is here and you're not getting any recognition for it. But God is looking for that heart. I don't mean to embarrass Sister Nancy, but I just felt impressed to say this. She, on Wednesday nights, teaches 4th through 6th graders, and she's been doing this for over a year. And we knew that to have that age group that was to have 4th grade through 12th grade up there would be really hard because some of the things that we would talk about would be right over their head. So we were targeting, in the youth group, we would target things that they're dealing with their age group. And the 4th or 6th graders wouldn't quite grasp those things. And I'm thankful for somebody like Sister Nancy who answered the call of God, which he was asked upon to teach that class. Because what I've seen in the past is when we would have that influx of younger ones in there, the older ones, the 10th, 11th graders, and 12th graders would just start to drift off. They wouldn't start coming back to church. So it was so instrumental to have that specific class in church on Wednesday nights. And I want to thank Sister Nancy for being faithful to the call. I'm thankful for the ones who are the greeters in this church, the ushers, the praise singers, and the musicians. The Sunday school teachers, the ones that give home Bible studies, and the faithfulness in your call. In the calling, it's going to be lonely at times. It's going to just be you and God. But, you know, in that calling and walking the walk, in those lonely times, those are some of the sweetest times with the Lord. It's just you and Him. And it's a great fellowship that we have during that time when we are alone. And He draws us to that time to be alone. And I'm so thankful for that. It gets sweeter as the days go by, just like that old song said. I think for the ones in the church that will take a new convert and put them underneath their wing and will nurture them and let them feel welcome in this place. I'm thankful also for the pioneers of faith. I got thinking of Brother Jans last night as I was preparing this message. And Brother Jantz, if you don't know, he's the one who, I believe it's, he started out using Christmas for Christ for the first time, and he was very instrumental in launching that special fundraiser. And since its inception, over $100 million has been raised from the beginning of Christmas for Christ, that drive that we do every year on Christmas time. And it's to help establish and support home missions works in churches in different areas. And he had a burning and a calling for that. And he started a home missions church a long time ago in Wisconsin. And then just about a year, year and a half ago, he passed away. And he was a senior pastor, bishop in Bartlett. And back in 1980, he wrote this discipleship course. This is My Father's House, and he designed this discipleship book for new converts because he had a burden, he had a call, and he answered the call of God in his life, and God used him to write this discipleship book. I'm thankful for it's my wife's grandmother, but for some people like Sister Harmon that were here, that had a burden to start a church in Sandwich, and she started by inviting people to her house for her call to be an intercessor. I just can't stress how important, if God calls you to be an intercessor, it is so important and vital to our service and to this church and the people that are impacted by this church. I heard of stories when she began to pray, when she had grandchildren at her house, and she would list off the names of all the people in her family. And they would start to get quiet, and they would wait to hear her name being called. I remember late in her years, she was in a nursing home, and I, when I received the Holy Ghost in 2004, and she started, it was an early onset of Alzheimer's. And my mother-in-law, I was standing with her, and she goes, "He got the Holy Ghost." And she said, "I knew he would." She didn't have a memory, but she knew for that split second, she knew what my mother-in-law was telling her. And she goes, "I knew he would, as I prayed for him." I'm so thankful for that. Your calling is no accident. You could be called on to pray with somebody during the service. You'd be called on by God to give a word of encouragement, to give a prophetic word in the service at any given time, to give the tongues or interpretation for the edifying of the church. There's different ministrations in the church, and God didn't all call us to do the same thing, but he put us together for a reason, for us to work together, for a unity. Have no regrets about your calling when God calls you to do something. And I was reminded by this last night, that when the worship was going on, and we had a wonderful move of God on a Sunday morning service years ago, and I'd never done this before. And I don't regret praising and worshiping God with everything that I have and be obedient when he asked me to do something. And I know others have done this, but I was in the second row there. It was on a Sunday morning service, and I was standing next to Brother Mark Damron at the time when he was here before he went off to college. And the Lord told me to take off and run. And I'd never done that before. I was the most quiet, reserved person in church. I was sitting in the back, and when I first started coming here, I didn't want nobody to bother me. I was very reserved and quiet. And he says, "I'm going to give you about 3 seconds, or I'm going to have somebody else do it." It's plain as day. "You better do it, or I'm going to have somebody else do it." I got up out of, I stepped out of the aisle, and I took off running. And I believe that when you're obedient to God, that you're just not doing that, because God is doing things beyond what we can see with these eyes. As I took off around there, I felt a wind. I felt like, you know, almost as if I wasn't doing this on my own. And I went around to the back of the auditorium, and there was a couple there that used to come here, and they moved out of state years ago. But as soon as I passed the back of her, I heard a scream go out, and she started speaking in tongues. And I heard about this, that was the first time she spoke in tongues in 20 years. That I believe that when you're obedient to God and the call of God in your life, that you will do whatever he asks you to do. I believe there was an angel of the Lord just cutting and binding chains. He goes, if you do this, you're not doing this alone, because I'm going to loose everything in this place. I'm thankful for the liberty that we have in this place. Your calling has been purposed and planned by your Creator. Elijah was called to anoint Elisha. In 1 Kings 19:19 says, "So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12 teams of oxen. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak, which is his mantle, across him over his shoulder, and then walked away." I read the New Living Translation version, and it says it was a mantle that was cast upon him. It was something that he wore. And I'm gonna wind this thing down right now and start to close. I've been hearing a lot about mantles, especially last year during U Convention. Aaron Bounds spoke. He was a keynote speaker last year at Illinois U Convention, and he spoke the Friday night service at Youth Congress this year. And I kept hearing about these mantles. And I mentioned the people in the past that have been here and that have gone to be with the Lord, like Brother Yance and Sister Harmon. And the ones, our ancestors, the ones from the pioneers in this faith, the ones that have gone on before us, that have paved the way. And there's these mantles that they have carried, and they have that they've carried with them. They have passed away, but these mantles didn't die with them. These mantles were passed on. Elijah had a mantle. He threw it over Elisha. And he goes, I'm soon to leave this world right now, but this mantle is staying with you. And some of us have mantles that I believe there's a calling in our life, and God is asking you to be faithful to your calling, the ones that are in your calling, to be obedient to your calling. And he may be calling you to different things and different areas of ministry that you have never done before. But he's saying this morning, I am with you, and I will help you. If we could stand at this time. It was last year, and Brother Bounds, he was given this message, and he was on a platform, and this the platform was in the center of the convention center, and he went and grabbed men's jackets, and he went and threw these jackets, and I got one here. And he grabbed four of them in all four different directions. And he said, there's these mantles that have been dropped because these people have passed on. And he said, they need to be picked up. I believe there's a calling going out this morning that God is asking you to pick up somebody's mantle, to pick up somebody's mantle that has been an intercessor. Maybe he's a mantle where God is calling you to get behind a pulpit, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a part of this five-fold ministry, to evangelize. We're all called to do the work of evangelists, to be an evangelist, to be that light that shines in our workplace, in our neighborhood. If you feel like God has spoken to you this morning, I'd like you to invite you to come to this altar at this time. Just be obedient to the call of God. Pick up that mantle, whatever it may be. Whoever's mantle has been put down, has hit the floor, I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to kick the dust off of that mantle. And I'm going to carry that mantle. I can't stand to see it just sitting there and doing nothing.
Thank you.
4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through you all, and in you all. When he's in you, he's working through you, giving God honor, impacting people, that they may know him. In Jesus' name, I'm thankful for your response this morning. Thankful for the presence of God in this place today. I was telling Brother Kelm a week ago when we both got the call to take care of the service and partake in this morning. Just just lost my train of thought. It'll come to me later. We'll leave it alone. Do you remember what I said?
That God is one that called us to be here to do what we're doing this morning. And on the lines that he's going to get it done.
Exactly. Right.
Amen. No matter
what. To do what God called us to do and to be who God called us to be.
Right.
And that's just what he said. Lord, as we go forth throughout the rest of this day, Lord, may we do what you have called us to do and be who you've called us to be and be obedient and faithful to it. And you are with us. You are for us. Every step of the way. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.
Praise you.